Did you know that the I in ICF stands for international? If you're looking for an English-speaking international community, this could just be the right place for you. Welcome to our podcast. Today, we have a very special guest. He is one of the reasons why I decided to stay in Nuremberg instead of going to Munich when I came back to Germany for the third time. I actually found a place in Munich already, but after talking to this guy, I was like, okay, this is the leader I want to follow. Our guest today is the senior pastor at our church, ICF Nuremberg, Dani. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Joanne. Thank you for inviting me, being part of that.
Hey, and it's perfect that you're with us today because there is no better person to announce the winners of our podcast name contest and to unveil the final name of our podcast. Thank you to all of you who submitted your ideas. Hey, we've got 23 entries. That's quite an engagement.
Wow.
Yeah, I was so happy to see it. The life group leaders all voted for the best ones. And we actually have three winners. And the final name, it's a combination of the three names. But first, Dani, can you please tell us who are our winners?
Yes, I'm gladly do that. So the winners is first the Eldos.
Woohoo!
And then we have Kelvin Chetty.
Yes!
Congratulations. And then we have Julia Simba.
Woohoo! Yes, congratulations. And all the winners will receive a gift card as a small token of thanks. Now we decided to select three winners instead of one because first of all, they all receive high number of votes. And second of all, these three names together bring a really wonderful idea. That is, hey, this podcast is a space for us to hang out and share in the name of Jesus. And it also tells us who we are as a group. So it was a tough choice. And instead of choosing just one aspect of the name, we decided to bring all three ideas together. So Dani, please tell us, what is the final name of the podcast?
Yes, I find it such a great idea. So proudly announce the final podcast name is the ICF Lounge.
Yes, the ICF Lounge. I love it because it's actually really the space where we usually hang out all the time as a community before the pandemic. And it's where we meet on Thursday nights. It's where most of our conversations take place. It has our name ICF in it. It's short and catchy. What do you think about the name, Dani?
I really like it. I really love it as a virtual place, an online digital place to connect, to share hearts, to share lives and be together. So it's such a great idea. I'm really happy.
Thank you. And we're looking forward to have more guests from the church, from the community to be on our show. So Dani, talking about ICF, that's in our name. What does it stand for actually?
Well, the I is, of course, international. And CF, as everyone knows, is the International Chicken Farm. So I'm not sure if you knew that, but that's the official brand, International Chicken Farm. No, just kidding. Of course, it's the International Christian Fellowship. And it was founded in 1996 by our movement leader, Senior Pastor Leo Bigger in Zurich, in Switzerland.
So international, it's a part of our church name. Can you tell us the background on why does the movement have such a focus on being international?
Well, of course, in the beginning, there were it was a local church in Zurich that had a different name. And ICF actually was an event once in a month that was hosted by this local church. The idea was to reach out and build a platform for international business people in Zurich to come together for worship and connect. So in the beginning, it was just an event once in a month hosted by this local church. But then after a few years, they kind of merged it into ICF Church. So that's why the international focus been. And I think this was also a prophetic statement. At that time, Leo and the people there, they were not so much international oriented, but over the years, their horizon and their connection got more and more international. Also, the movement started from Zurich, Switzerland, spreading in Switzerland. And actually, ICF Nuremberg was the first ICF church outside Switzerland. So we were in Germany planting the first church, and from there it got to be international. I mean, it's Europe, but still it was crossing the borders of Switzerland. And from there on, it spread into now Cambodia, even Brazil and all parts of the earth. So that's international. Yeah, and I think it was a prophetic statement at that time.
So we call ourselves international before we really became international. Somehow it's like we knew it before. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know we're in Brazil too.
Yeah.
That's cool. I remember a few years ago when I started coming to Nuremberg, to ICF Nuremberg, I was probably the only one who couldn't speak German there. And I was very happy that the second time I came back, there was the international community. And I was so excited about it. So what makes you want to establish an international community back in a few years ago?
Yeah, in the beginning, we realized that more and more people joining our church, being English speaking, being international. And so we realized, hey, wow, let's build a space where these people can connect and become part of a church, not just as visitors on Sundays, but really giving them an opportunity to experience community, experience friendships, growing in their faith, sharing their lives. And the big challenge for all these international expats here is that they're far away from their friends at home, from their family. It's a different, strange place. So we thought, hey, let's create a space for them to feel a little bit at home, feel, enable them, help them to experience family, experience friendship, and connect the hearts. So we just started that. And I was so happy, Joanne, when you took over the leadership and you build your team, and you really brought the international community to a whole new level of being really a community. So that's how we started.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been international or outsider or foreigner, whatever you call it, multiple times in my life. And I feel really community is absolutely important. So I thank you also for that, for the heart for us, for having that vision. Tell us about your own international experience. I mean, you've traveled a lot. You've done multiple mission trips as well. Can you tell us about a time when you were away from your home country? What did you learn? Or if you have any interesting stories overseas that you can share with us?
Oh, yeah. So it began with my parents, actually. I remember being a kid and a teenager, we always had lots of international guests at our house. So people were coming and going and talking English. And so I got used to hear, listen, and speak in English. And our parents, they took us to Israel quite several times. So we had business people coming, staying at our house, and friends. And we traveled to Israel. So that was my first international experiences. And then as a teenager, young adult, starting taking over leadership positions in the church, youth leadership. I went to several leadership trainings in the UK. I did a leadership summer school in the south of England, and we're connected with some youth leaders there and had youth conferences in the UK. So I was traveling when I was 18, 19, 20, was traveling to Canada when I was 18. Also did now in my times pastoring the church, I did several mission or vision trips to the US, visiting some churches there. I remember the very best experience was doing a Harley trip to the Rocky Mountains with Leo and some of the ICF pastors. So we flew into Denver and got these Harleys and just 5 days in the mountains. It was so amazing. Camping in the overnight, and that was one of the main experiences, this Harley trip, I will never forget. And we also visited churches and got inspirations, talking to pastors. And so actually from childhood, I began to have a broad horizon, a broad internet perspective, and I'm really thankful for it. And then we did some mission trips when I was 13, 14 years old. I started to do mission trips with King's Kids, and we went here in Europe to Ukraine, to Romania, Croatian area where there was this war in 1992, 93, 94. So I had several experiences there. Actually, my first preaching was on a mission trip in Barcelona in Spain, and I was 15 years old, and we were on a soccer field and doing an evangelistic outreach, and I voted to be the preacher, and I started my message in English, which was so bad at the time, but it was a funny experience. Yeah, and then we had some mission trips to Hong Kong and Beijing, China. We did also leadership training, 2 weeks of leadership training with international students coming into Beijing and connecting with local students from the university in Beijing. And we did some leadership trainings that was hosted by the Red Cross in China. And these were some very interesting experiences. That was 2006, 2007, 2 years in a row. And then we had some trips to Cambodia, That was 2015, and we started almost every year. I flew before the pandemic hit. I flew to Cambodia, and I just fell in love with these people there because they're such a great country, such a broken country because of the history of the Red Khmer, but still country, a young generation that is evolving and growing up, and you can invest and build up this generation in Cambodia, which has really touched my heart. So I love to fly. I love to meet international people, talk to pastors, visit churches, enjoy this beautiful creation we have here on this planet Earth. So yeah, I love it.
I knew you were international. I didn't know you were that international.
I haven't been to Africa. I have not been to Russia, and I have not been to South America.
Wow, this is incredible.
Maybe South America would be interesting.
Yeah. Tell me, what is your vision for ICF? And then specifically, what is your vision for the ICF international community?
My passion as a young kid and a teenager was I wanted to be a doctor. And I started to study medicine, and I was really fascinated by the anatomy of the body and the creation of God. And then when I left the medical study to become a pastor, the passion is still similar. The passion is for the body of Christ being healthy, being strong, having influence in society. So my passion is to build a healthy and influential church that can be salt and light in the world, that can strengthen and build up people, strengthen them, build up marriages, build up families, and then they would have an impact on society. So the kingdom of God perspective is so much bigger than just the Sunday perspective of church. So for me, church has got something to do with the kingdom perspective, with a society perspective, where we can be healthy and strong people, families, marriages, and have them be salt and light in this world. So this healthy kind of thinking is in my DNA. And for ICF Nuremberg, I love ICF Nuremberg to be a healthy church. And because I know everything that is healthy, there will be strength, there will be influence that can change, that can make a difference in our world, in our society. And so over the last years, this perspective of faith, love, and hope, which Paul is writing about in 1 Corinthians 13, these three words, building a strong faith within the people that are in the church, but also reaching out and sharing about our faith for the people outside the church that have a strength picture of God or church, but then also building the people in a deep love relationship to God, because that is where our roots need to be. The roots of our identity, the roots of our worth, of what we do, of our passion, of our motivation, these roots need to be rooted in the love of the Father, which Paul writes about in Ephesians chapter 3. And hope is all about giving people perspective for their individual situation when they are in troubled times, in difficult times, when they're going to crisis. What we need is hope that gives us motivation and perspective and purpose again. So we want to show that there's a hope in God. People can find hope. And also we want to reach out outside of the walls of the church. So we bring light into dark places and bring hope outside in the world. So faith, love, and hope, as Paul says, has got something of eternal value, because the design of the church, the location of the church, the label and the brand and everything, this is not something that has eternal value. But if people experience faith, love, and hope, this has really eternal value. And so we want to invest into that and build a healthy community where people can experience faith, love, and hope themselves, and they can spread and go out and share faith, love, and hope with others. And I think the same is true for the international community, that I love the international community to be a healthy community, to be authentic in their relationships, in their sharing their lives, about their successes and about their failures, you know, not just being the holy people on Sunday, but living out our faith. And from this strong community, this will be so attractive. If people are rooted in their faith, growing in their faith, are passionate about their faith, this will be attracting other people. So we invite them to, we share our lives, we celebrate our lives, we have fun and activities together, but we also have deep roots and authentic love. And I think this is the power that the international community has and still can develop more.
It's important for us to be authentic. And I hope that this is a space where we create it, where and can be still authentic and can still hear about their successes and failures, which leads me to my next question. And that is talking about health of our body and relationship, right? But the pandemic has really thrown a curveball at all of us and has changed the way we connect and the way we do church significantly. What did you learn from this experience?
As you said, no one planned that, no one wanted that. And we were all kind of thrown in and needed to find out new ways. One thing I learned is I do not have to be afraid, because God is in control. I mean, he still reigns. He's got the whole world in his hands, and my life and also the church is in his hands. And I realize the church is not on my shoulders. I need to save the church and I need to bring or lead the church. Of course I need to, but there's God who's doing it and he's holding it all together. And that's how my trust got really challenged, but got deeper in that. My faith and my trust in God, knowing he's faithful, there will be a way. And so it's not a burden on my shoulders. It's a passion in my heart, but it's not a burden on my shoulders. And I learned to be open to do new ways of church. For example, preaching just to a camera with no people in the room is different. It's a different atmosphere. It's a different awareness of the presence of God. You don't know what's going on in the living rooms. You know, are people sleeping? Are they drinking coffee? Are they chatting? Are they going to the restrooms? You have no idea what's going on in the living rooms where people are watching. But still, you get a sense of, wow, I feel that God is moving. So there are certain times in the messages I really sense God is touching hearts right now. And this is something that opened my horizon to realize, yeah, God is not limited. He's not limited to physical being together, but our hearts are connected through the Spirit of God. And where people are open, the Holy Spirit can move and touch their hearts. And the Word of God can be powerful, revealing things to them, revealing truth to them, convicting them of sins, inviting them to get to know God deeper. So that what's challenged me, this hybrid model of doing church. And I think we are still learning. We're still learning and learning how to adjust and don't be like the victims of this pandemic and mourn about everything is different and we cannot do church the way we did it before, but see it as a blessing. So what changed my perspective if when I started, okay, God, show me the blessing of it. Show me the meaning. What can we learn? How can we develop in that situation? Not being paralyzed, feeling as a victim and hoping everything will come back to normal again. But in that situation, being open for new experiences, open for new challenges, learning. I mean, I guess my first online messages had not been so good that they are maybe now. So I am improving, I'm advancing, I'm taking next step. And we all did. I mean, if I look at the technical guys in the church, they learned a lot in the last half year. The worship team, I mean, it was a challenge for everybody, but we're still learning. And so we're trying to see the blessing in it. Of course, it is also like a curse, and there are negative things that are not really people. People are suffering, people are getting sick, and also people are dying. So this is, of course, not a blessing, but there are areas where we can see the blessing and we try to take it and learn from that and take steps from that. For example, when we do a lot of Zoom meetings, it can be very intense and your brain is like so tired in the evening. But then people would join our meetings over Zoom. They would not join if we would meet in a room at the ISIP office, for example. And when I come home, usually it takes me like 30 or 40 minutes from the office to go home. And if I stop the Zoom meeting, I'm right there at home, you know? So there are positive things. There are blessings in that as well, but also challenges, of course, as we all know.
Yeah, that's so great to hear that in the time of crisis, instead of having more fears, it actually drives you or brings you to a place where you trust God even more, where you realize it's not in your control and you see it as an opportunity for you to grow and transform. That's beautiful. Well, many of us are away from family on top of being in lockdown. So for us, it's quite challenging. We haven't seen our close family members for more than a year. Some people in our community, they live on their own. Do you have some words of encouragement for us?
Yeah, we know it's tough for everyone, but I guess for those of you who are far away from home, it's still a higher price that you pay. It's even more tough. But I want to encourage you, focus on the freedom that you still have. For example, in this day, we see the people in Myanmar that are really suffering and the military is taking over and it's difficult in so many places. And I'm thankful that we have this such great freedom, freedom still. Of course, we cannot meet as before in this time, but still there's so much freedom. There's technology, so we can connect with people. So there are a lot of things we can be thankful for. For example, me as a family, we were thankful. We're just having a lot of more time together because lesser meetings, lesser guests, although we like and love having guests, sometimes you're so busy having guests. And when you don't know, when you cannot have guests, you realize, oh wow, I have this evening free and the Sunday and the Saturday, and we have so much free time now and we really enjoyed it. Of course, this can be stressful if your family or your marriage is not healthy, if you do not enjoy being time together, it can be stressful. But then also it reveals that something is not healthy inside, and you need to deal with it. You need to talk and you need to face those things that are not healthy. Maybe why you are not healthy as a family. So it brings things to the surface. And I want to encourage you, be not paralyzed, but find the blessing in it. Look for the gold within this whole dirt thing. Look for the gold, look for the blessing, look for the nuggets. Ask God, how can I develop? How can I, it's like a check, how deep are my roots? When all these entertaining things in my life are away now, meeting people, going out for dinner, having parties, which are great stuff. It's wonderful. But if this is taken away, the question comes, okay, what really is the root? Where are my roots going? And it is a huge opportunity to go deeper into your faith, to go deeper also in your relationships. If you just can meet with one person, you might have a much deeper conversation, a much deeper friendship can develop out of meeting just one person and not 10 or 15 or 20, you know? So there is a blessing opportunity in every situation. And I want to encourage you to see that, find that, ask God to show you the blessing within this situation.
Oh, that's great to use this time to focus on the things that we have, focus on blessings, focus on maybe some of the things that God wants to work in our lives. I think that's very profound. Is there anything else, Donnie, you want to share with us?
And I just want to say, I'm so happy that you guys are part of our church. I think you are adding to the healthiness, to the richness in terms of relationships, culture, the flavor and the color of the church. So you are, as an international community, such an important part of our church family. And I'm so happy that all of you are there. You are a blessing to us as well.
Thank you. And we see also how you, the leadership, the church has invested in us as well. There are so many of us, maybe, I don't know, 10% of internationals in ICF, but you have done so much for us. You have the translations commitments, you have before an English service for us, and we see all of that, and we are very happy to be at a part of a church where it has such a global vision. So we thank you so much. Thank you so much, Donnie, for being our guest today and for sharing your vision and your experience. Donnie is the senior pastor of our church. This podcast is produced by Fred, and I'm your host, Joanne. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure you subscribe and follow us for more insights and stories from our community. And also let us know if you have any topics you want to hear about. Thank you, and I'll see you next time.